This year has been 14 years since the last time. And it is a truth fact that our brother Hammonds and his family, positionally speaking, in the mind of God, follows the pattern of the Jews. And as Brother Grady said, the mind of God will place you exactly in the pattern that God created you to be in before the world ever was. And so many multiplied people of ministers who know about it and ministers that don't, and people and laity across the nation, we have told them by the mind of God just exactly the position that God created them to be in before the world ever was. And of course, you've always got skeptics, and they don't believe that God tells human beings things like that, so they have been very skeptical, but as they watch, they've come back, and one fellow came from Mississippi and said, "So, I do declare," Brother Pike said, "everything happened the way you told me, down to what you said would happen to my hound dog." He said it happened right down the line. So they have found out that their life follows perfectly in the pattern that we spoke of, and the things that would ordinarily happen to those that we spoke of happens exactly to them according to their place in the mind of God. So I am thankful tonight to be here, and this is the open door. As a matter of fact, this meeting has to do with a door open in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, from this meeting on, there will be a new move in the earth, a new stirring, a new outburst. I made the statement not too long ago. The Lord sent us to Washington, D.C., where we sat in in Congress there, and had a chance to go into the White House while we was there. But I told my wife, I said, from this time on, everything will change, including the government, including the universe. There'll be a change of the universe. There'll be a change in all denominational walks of life, and the church in its entirety will change. In all humanity, there'll be a change. And so far, there has been a drastic change that already started taking place. And some of you very well remember after the 6,000-mile tour as we went out into Las Vegas and into that area, out into West Hollywood where we were privileged to preach many years ago, making a tour coming back through there. You remember after we crossed the Rockies and saw the vision of the tornado, I spoke about how the judgment would start striking the earth from that time, and how that God showed us the tornado and what would happen. And you know very well that it happened right down to the very hairline of it. And it was no ordinary thing. I said it'll be judgment striking. It will be out of the ordinary. And at one time, from 60 to 80 tornadoes was recorded by radar at one time. Never before in the history of the world had it happened before. At the same time, they said the dreaded Black Plague that was back into the old country, that literally wiped out villages, had returned it was striking in the lower parts of South America, and floods were sweeping over in every place, and epidemics and different things in such a tremendous way, until it looked like that there was just no remedy anymore. The Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicines, and no man shall save them. For thy sins has come to a place to where there is no longer any remedy. And certainly the judgments of God are beginning to set in. And after we made that statement, I brought you back to remembrance last night how that the astrologists, in studying the stars, made the statement that in the stars they saw that it showed 7 years of the regime of Satan moving in, which has to do with the tribulation period. So it is a true fact that things are happening, and that God still has a voice in the land, and God will always have a voice in the land. God has always had a voice. And tonight you can be that voice for God if you want to. The Bible said it's not you that speaketh, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And the Bible tells us in the years gone by, God has spoke in time past, in divers manners and at sundry times to us by the prophets. But hath in this last time, latter day, or in the day that we're living in, he has spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And that Son tonight is you, for you're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I know there's still the fivefold ministry with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But God today is speaking to the world by bone of his bone and flesh his flesh. Amen. Speaking to them by the Son of God, and you're the membership of the Son. The Bible said members in particular. Is that right? God is speaking, and Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Is that right? You're the voice of God in the earth tonight. For the Bible said, as it is written, they shall all be taught of God. And you are the manifested God tonight. You're the only God there is. There's only one God, and you're that God tonight. You're the membership of the great eternal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's but one head to that God, and that's Jesus Christ. And the membership of it tonight is his body, and upon that body of those shoulders rests the government of the church. That's why that I don't favor women balling their hair up on the top or cutting their hair off. If they want to do it, that's their business. That's their business. And I'm not here to be critical. I'm just here to tell you that I favor it when it's down on the shoulders, because the woman is typical of the church. And being typical of the church, the government is to rest upon the shoulders. And that government is to have to do with the controlling power of her husband. Because the woman is married unto Christ. How many of you know that the flesh is the woman? I brought out some revelation concerning that last night. And so then, when you cut your hair off, it is a sign of rebellion against your husband. And so then, I believe that it ought to be down on the shoulders. Now, if you are modernistic, and if you are intellectual, indoctrinated by the walk tree of knowledge that started over in the garden, where you intellectually reason everything out, you'll go along with Satan and his theory, and you'll feel that you're some mighty person in your intellectual comprehension, and you'll do just exactly contrary to God. But Paul said, if you want to do it, remember the churches of God have no such custom. So then we believe that the government is upon the shoulders. We believe that you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And we believe that the fullness of God dwells within Jesus. Now, when we say that, we believe that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. That is, we believe that he is the head. We believe that Jesus Christ is the head. We believe that the fullness of the God body dwells in the membership. I praise the Lord for his blessings. I felt like the tree of knowledge would leave after the first few words, and it did. The Bible said that the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. And I picked up Satan as I come in, and I felt like when I started, he'd leave, and he did. God knows just exactly what he's doing. He doesn't miss one thing, does he? So then I thank the Lord tonight for his wonderful blessings. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the carnal mind cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the Spirit. If so be that you've been born of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Then the Spirit of Christ, which raised him up from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm thankful tonight because I believe in an open door. God has given us an open door. And I believe in that open door tonight. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Revelation with me tonight. And I want to read just a little bit. I ask you to bear with me because, as I said, I'm just a little bit hoarse tonight, and it makes it just a little bit difficult to be able to speak to you without hollering. So, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. In the third chapter, I want to say this. The Bible said, giving honor unto whom honor is due. I'd like to say that I appreciate our elderly brother, Brother Hammonds, who has been a real blessing to me down through the years. I believe he's helped a good testimony, lived a good life, raised a good family. And to me, it's a real privilege for him to be in my services. I also want to speak of the elders that are here, people that are a little older. It makes it a little hard for them to get out. They can't get out quite as well as the younger folks. And I want to praise you in a good word. Paul said, let another's lips praise you and not your own. So I want to praise you tonight. Or in a good thing, he said, I praise you. And I want to praise you as giving glory unto Christ within you, and that Paul said, they glorified God within me. I want to praise you in coming out tonight as an elder. knowing that it's not too easy for you to get around perhaps as well as the young folks. I want to praise the young folks tonight for being here and being concerned about their souls and about the things of God. I want to praise you in it tonight. I'm glad that you're here, and I thank God for you because it's being alive and showing the Lord Jesus. Glad that Brother Sweeten and the others are here. Learn to love him, him and Brother Mike and the others, Brother Dover, and also I'm very disappointed that our brother Ben Howard isn't here tonight. I would like for Ben to have been here. We ministered up at Ben's one night. I really enjoyed it. I thank the Lord for it. And I want to say this concerning the offering. Ben tried to give us the offering through Brother Grady, but I did not take the offering because I did not go there for the offering. And I was sent some money today, which I told my wife to be sure to give it back to you. And I do not want the offering. I appreciate the offering, and I need the offering. And it takes money to keep the natural wheels turning. And God will meet my needs. And I know that he does it through people. The Bible said, so shall men give in thy bosom good measure, heaped down, pressed together, and running over. Now, but the thing is, I know where I'm supposed to be, and I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know what I'm supposed to take. And I don't want the offering, and I appreciate it because I don't think it could come from any finer people. But I never come here for that. I come here to minister. The gospel, Paul said, to make the gospel of no charge unless I abuse my privilege in Christ. So I come here to tell you about the love of God, and I don't want the offering. I'd rather that Brother Hammonds and Brother Grady keep the offering and settle that between them. God will bless them for what they have offered to do. And when I said what I did, I caught somebody's spirit, preambling and running around that, Brother Pike, I think you ought to take on that offering, and it really came from somebody that it shouldn't have come from because it came from a laity, somebody that shouldn't have even been concerned. But they considered themselves to have had a burden while I light the load of others. But if you're concerned about the offering, why don't you tell Brother Hammonds and he'll give it to you, I'm sure. So then, in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, if you've got your Bibles, let's read together. Reading in the 3rd chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to start at the 2nd verse. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillow in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'd like to dwell just a little bit tonight on the thought of the open door. Last night, I might have said a few things that might not have been comprehended as easily as I would like for them to have been. And perhaps there was things that you didn't understand. But in my earlier life, there was a lot of things I didn't understand. But I just kept listening to the minister, and I kept praying and kept talking to God. And as a consequence of that, I eventually came into a place to where God called me away with him for a number of years. And while I was called away with God, God revelated things to me and told me his plan. After God did, I was literally shocked. For I said within my heart, I said, God, is it possible that the church can be this far behind in the things of God? For I had fasted, I had prayed, I had sought God, I'd done all the things that ministers usually do. I traveled around the nation and preached from coast to coast. I had heard great men preach the gospel. I'd been in Brother Oral Roberts' meetings, A. Allen's meetings. I'd been in Brother Branham's meetings. I'd been in local ministers' meetings and all of the great things. But still, there was something that was missing. And I knew that something was missing, and so I went with God. And when I went to stay with God, God kept me for a number of years. And then when God released me, then I began to expound the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that was learned in all the ways of the Jews. He understood, so far as a doctrinal thing, he understood thoroughly what the people of old had taught. He understood what was in the law and what was in the prophets. He understood. But there was still something that had to come forth that the church might be translated and taken into another world. And Paul was called away with God because he had learned that which pertained to the veil. And in having learned that which pertained unto the veil, so then all that God had to do was to take Paul away and unveil it to him that it might become revelation. He was a chosen vessel for that purpose. And God today hath men that are learned in the Word and in the natural things of life that he will take away and unveil those things that they might come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that we have, besides that, a lot of people that are vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. Whereas Paul said, when you think you know something, that you don't know something that you ought to know. And one thing that you ought to know is that knowledge puffeth up, but the charity edifieth. And the Lord taught us to follow after charity rather than after knowledge. And the revelation of Jesus doesn't come from collecting a lot of books and a lot of tapes and going away somewhere to try to get a head full of knowledge. But the revelation of Jesus Christ comes from the edification of the Spirit of love as you get away with God and begin to completely surrender to the will and the desire of Jesus Christ. That's the only way it comes. I have in my lifetime met very few people that have ever really got acquainted with the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that Brother William Branham, a great man of God, I know that God gave unto him the understanding of the Scriptures, but I know that his followers never did get it. I'm well acquainted with his followers all over the nation, and I know that they never did get it. Now, they got an intellectual letter, and they got tapes, and they got books, and they did to Brother Branham's message just exactly what the Jews did to the message when it was given to Moses. They turned it into a law of the letter. What the church needs is not a lot of knowledge, but they need the love of God. If they could ever get the love of God, Brother Hammond, they'd be knitted together as one unit, and nothing would be able to tear them loose. And then they'd get in one mind, and that would be the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God would come down, as it did on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And we find ourselves basking in the sunlight of his glory. You love the Lord? What a wonderful privilege to be able to talk about the things of God. Now tonight, as you can see, I'm real hoarse, and the devil is going to do his best to keep me from telling you what's on my heart. But I'd like to, I might hold this mic a little close, but if I do, don't get alarmed at me. Don't put cotton in your ears. Some are dull of hearing already. Now, I want to speak to you concerning the open door. And if the Lord will just loose this throat up just a little bit tonight, and you'll pray and become spiritual, I'd love to try tonight to dwell just a little bit on the seven thunders of John. I know that we don't have the time here to go into a message like we want to. I know that I took a little longer last night than I intended to take. But you are such a good audience that you gave me leeway, and I went ahead and I took it. I didn't want a burden, I don't deny, because I try to watch the spirit of my people. When the majority of the spirit begins to get restless, I begin to sign off. Because God doesn't stop. He'll go on all night long if you're willing to listen. But when you're not willing to listen, he's ready to stop. Is that right? If you hunger and thirst, God will speak to you. So tonight, as I speak to you, I want to dwell on the thunders a little bit. I'd like to get your mind and attention. And then if we can get started, then after that, maybe the revelation will open up, or the mind of God will begin to speak. Now, I want you to understand this. Some of you already do. I am nothing. I asked the Lord one time, I said, where is my place in God? I've said this a number of times. I said, everybody's got a place. Surely I must have a place somewhere. And I thought, well, it could be Elijah. I could be Moses. I could be anything, you know. Who knows what I am? So I thought, Lord, I could be anything. But God, what have you made me? And the answer came back like a song I wrote one time. It said, the answer came back loud and clear. I'm the least of the least. I'm less than nothing. So it took me a while to find my place in God, but I found it. Now, I'm not saying that you're that. Paul said, while we're made the all-scouring of the earth, then you're precious in his sight. While we're nothing, we're cast down, you're bound. While we're criticized, you're praised, and that's all right. But we're less than nothing. Everybody criticizes, everybody finds fault. Just like a brother that's sitting here tonight. Ever since that I took the mic, he's been skeptical in looking at me. Ever since I took the mic, he's been that way. And he's supposed to be a devout follower of God. But nevertheless, that doesn't bother me, because that's the way it's supposed to be. They did Jesus that way. In his congregation, they did it. They stepped out or jumped up and said, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? And so then, it is true that when you speak the gospel, you stir up devils and demons. And fleas get on good dogs. How many of you know that? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you got a good master. I believe Brother Hammond's a good one. I believe he'll sprinkle you every now and then. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then, the mind of God that comes down, it's like a misty cloud. It comes down upon us. God uses the same rusty old vocal organs. It's my vocal organs. It's my vocal utterance that you hear. As far as human sound is concerned, it's my brain. It's my human intelligence as far as my utterance in sound. But when we stir up the mind of God, that spiritual mind of Christ anoints my human intelligence. It anoints my heart. It comes forth as a spiritual expression to say, let the church hear what the Spirit has to say to it. That's the way it comes forth. It is God speaking to you. For it is not man, but it is God. If I speak to you as a man, I'll have to speak to you about natural things, because that's all that a man knows. A man looks on the outward appearance. But the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. If I speak to you concerning things that are beyond the comprehension of mortal man, it has to be God. Because man can't do that. Only Christ can enter in beyond the veil and bring back the lovely fruits of Canaan. He's the only one that can do it. I can't do it. I can speak to you tonight and indoctrinate you, by the word of the letter tonight and establish a thought pattern in your mind. Remember, Satan is trying to trample down the minds of humanity. I can speak to you tonight and I can establish within your understanding a human concept. I can give you an indoctrination. I'm supposed to do that. The ministry is called for that purpose. But brothers and sisters, it takes the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, to be able to enter into the holiest of holies, which is your heart, and the kingdom of God that's within you. It takes Christ to do that. I can put a chair, but God, through faith from your heart, has to turn it into a spiritual revelation. It is a human concept up here. And it will never change your body. I noticed our brother so beautifully tonight sang the song, "Thy redemption draweth nigh." It takes a minister to put it up here. But it takes Aaron, the high priest, who maketh intercession. And the Bible said the spirit that searcheth the heart, that knoweth the mind of the heart, maketh intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. Because as a physical being in the world of human anatomy, we know not what we ought to pray for because we have human conflicts. And there is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And the outer man is constantly asking for the convenience of the flesh because Jesus said the flesh is weak. But the spirit is constantly with groans and moans that cannot be humanly uttered. He is making intercession with God for the benefit of our soul and our future welfare. So then, tonight, you've got to have faith. Up here, you'll get a message from this ministry, or this meeting, rather, from this time on. It will signify an open door. With this door being open, it will signify a door that is open in heaven. Now, that means that from this meeting on, there will be spiritually speaking to the church, not only here but throughout the world, a door open in heaven. John said, "I saw a door open in heaven." Is that right? There will be a door that will be open to you in heaven. God opened this door at Calvary. How do you know that? He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Is that right? He opened it to Gentile and to Jew. A door is open in heaven. Now, what is heaven? The Spirit. The Spirit. If I had time to go into it tonight, I could show you that it is the Spirit. Most people will not make the translation. The majority of the people, I'm talking about Pentecostal people, will not make the rapture nor the translation at all. And the reason, the Bible said, "My people perish from the lack of knowledge." The reason is because they do not have the knowledge of God. They spent their time shouting, spent their time seeking healing, and spent their time in formality and ritualistics, and have never bothered to understand God and what God was doing. Even the Jews, with all of their formality, all of the law, with the oracles of God, that had everything that they could want as far as the laws of the letter. Yet it is a true fact that when it came to the translation, they knew nothing of it. Though they were God's chosen people, they knew nothing of it. And the Pentecostal people tonight hardly know anything concerning the translation. I said last night that the translation it's not called the rapture in the Bible. It is spoken of as the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith, which comes eyes enlightened, the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. God cannot be seen. Scientists say there's 22 conducted nerves from the eye to the brain. On the nerves, you cannot see God. John 4:24 says God is a spirit. You cannot see God with your natural eyes. No man can see God and live. You can't see God with your natural eyes. That means you've got to have some God eyes somewhere. You can't hear God with your natural ears. You've got to have God ears somewhere. Jesus said, having man's ears you can't hear, having man's eyes you can't see. But he said, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. If you can hear the voice of Brother Pike with your natural ear, then what you've got to do is come to a place to where you can look beyond that and hear what the Spirit is saying to your spiritual ear, if you have a spiritual ear. So then, looking beyond the veil, going beyond the veil, the Lord said to Brother Branham, said, would you like to see beyond the veil? He said, I would. It would do me so much good. Being typical of Moses, he was allowed to see, but not to go in the dimensional time. So then God took him up, and he looked beyond the veil, and he said he saw the women in the long dresses. The last phase of God that was to come in. The women in the long dresses, he saw them. As Moses, he viewed what God was going to do. But the Lord let him pass away as Moses. Moses saw the thing, but he saw it within the veil. A lot of them said, but we got what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham told even his own son, Billy Paul, said, Billy, you never even got it. The one that stayed with him all the time, everywhere he went, he said, Daddy, I've got it. He said, no, you didn't, Billy. Brother Branham knew that that thing was within the veil, and he knew that there was something else that had to come in the earth. He constantly spoke of it. He knew that it had to come. Moses knew that it had to come. In his day, there had to be a move of God. 7 to 9 years has gone by. Brother Branham has slept beneath the sod. Am I to take the opinion that God has not done anything at all since Brother Branham laid down to rest? Am I to believe because Elijah passed on that God hasn't done anything for the church? I can't believe that. It doesn't register right. Moses slept. I went away. Elijah went away. Abraham went away. Paul went away. God kept moving. Brother Branham went away. God kept moving. God kept moving. God's still moving. There's something that's still taking place. I have the greatest kind of respect for Elijah. To me, it was 10 times 10 what I could ever be. I have the greatest respect for Brother Branham, because I feel that he's 10 times 10 what I could ever be. I have the greatest respect for those that followed Moses, which is the Jews, for the Bible said that they were the apple of God's eye. I have the greatest kind of respect for Brother Branham's followers. I think they're some of the finest people in the world. But brother, whatever you are, it doesn't change the fact that God is still moving and God is doing something and God is looking for people that will continue to believe. An open door. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. Amen. Just as quick as you start believing, something started happening. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if God is dead, who is this living in my soul? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God used Elijah. He was glad to use Elijah. Elijah could throw out his chest, Brother Dover, and say, God used me. Moses was used. And Moses could throw out his chest and say, God used me. Paul was used. And Peter and James and John and hundreds and thousands of others. But today, God wants you to throw out your chest and say, God used me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're God's man tonight. You're God's woman tonight. God needs you tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, there's religious people all over the world. I'll just be another pea in the pod. I'll tell you what, there's very few righteous people in the world. Jesus said, few there be that find it. You'd be surprised how outstanding you'd be if you just live holy. You'd be surprised how God would bless you if you just make a change. Hallelujah. I have the greatest kind of respect for the denominational moves of God that came down through the world. I do. I don't despise them. I am not for their ecclesiastical or ecclesia moves. I'm not for it. I believe that they have brought in a Nicolaitan thing and that they have rejected the Spirit of God. I believe that. But it was the move of God when the Catholics came forth. The Bible shows that God was in it. It was the move of God when the Methodists came forth. It was the move of God when the Baptists came forth. And brothers and sisters, every denomination that's going right now, God creates the good, God creates the evil, and God has His way in both, and God works all things after the counsel of His own will. I believe that the denominational moves were needed, or God would never have let them be in the earth. When you raise children, you need to build a fence to keep them out of the road. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I believe that those people were children in the knowledge of God. And I believe they needed some denominational fences to keep them out of the road and keep them out of the marshes. But brother, when you get big enough, you're not going to stay inside of fences. You're going to climb over it if you can't find the gate. We're men and women in God. We don't need a fence. There's but one shepherd and there's but one fold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That makes me feel good. You love the Lord, say amen. I'm thankful tonight. Very thankful. I had a vision last night. God showed me some hideous things. And I walked out from where they was by freedom in God. As I moved out, I began to sing a song. And I felt in my mind, I said, Lord, these people around will think I'm crazy. Because I was just hollering right out loud. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He gave me a song. I remembered a little of it this morning. It's gone from me now. But it was so beautiful. It was praising God. I remember part of it was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember that part of the song real well. But I thought as I walked along and people conspicuously looked at me, I thought, well, you just don't know. If you had what I've got in my heart, you'd sing aloud too. If you'd seen the horrors that I've seen and knew that you had escaped them, you'd sing aloud too. So I just didn't care. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord gave Peter a key. And He said, Peter, you can open the door. Peter opened the door. And 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost was baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The eternal Spirit baptized them into the membership of the body. They were baptized into the church as a unit or a member of that body. Is that right? And they repented of their sins. And they were buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. Is that right? To show that their sins have been remitted, that He might receive the glory for everything that had been done. That everybody might say that those are Jesus' name people. A lot of folks want to be called Baptists. I don't want to be called Baptist. Some people want to be called Pentecostal. Well, that's a good Jewish festival. That's all right. But that's not what I want to be called. A lot of people want to be called Methodist, Church of God, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, UPC. I just want to be called after Jesus' name. He said, those that are called by my name. Hallelujah. If they'll humble themselves, I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their lands. I believe that. I believe that. Somebody said, but we've been a praying and we've been a fasting. We've been a doing what you said do, God, and you ain't done the things you said you was going to do. The Jews said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge? Says we've got down in sackcloth and ashes, but you haven't taken any knowledge. He said, away with your solemn assemblies. God doesn't want you to be solemn. He said, serving God's joy. Joy. People come together with their solemn assemblies, and they sit there like they're having a funeral. The Bible said, let everything that has breath praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That sounds good to God when you say that. When Jesus started into Jerusalem, them rabbis and different ones said, now let's have a solemn assembly and hold your peace. Jesus said, I'm not looking for a solemn assembly. Let these people say hallelujah. Then if you stop them, I'll call the rock to start saying hallelujah. If you don't let my people praise me, I'll let all the rocks start screaming out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Said, I set before you an open door. Here we see a church age, a time that is referred to as the open door. Is that right? A great open door that is referred to as a brotherly love age. A Philadelphian age, the word being brotherly love. An age wherein God said there is an open door. A little love is still among you. There is an open door. It was in this period, according to history, that William Carey, according to history, found an open door in India and China and different places around the world. It was at this period of time, just before the independency, that at this period of time, that the gospel found a way across the world and the gospel began to spread. It was in that day. A man by the name of George Whitefield started a move of God. It sprang out, and men like William Booth stepped out from their church and started things like the Salvation Army and great moves of God. John Wesley stepped out and started a great move of God. Dwight L. Moody and Finney and others stepped out and started a great move of God. And it brought us into a place to where God could commune with us. And as the light broke, other great men of God came along until gradually it was restored back to the Jesus name move of God that God intended to be at Pentecost. Hallelujah. How many of you know that here when the great revival fell back over around the gateway of the west about 1900, moved to Azusa Street, and there about 1901 or 1906, the black man got a hold of it and it spread like fire, being typical of the Jew in the last dimensional age. Spread like fire. And then when the Holy Ghost came, how many of you know that the UPC sprang up and the Assemblies of God sprang up, and lo and behold, they started fighting with each other. One said, I believe it this way. Another said, I believe it that way. And each one decided the other was wrong. And according to the Bible, both of them was wrong. Hallelujah. You say, don't you believe that they were right? I do not believe that they were right. I believe they had some right. I believe that the UPC had some good things. I believe that the Assembly of God had some good things. But I think both of them went deceived on those kind of things and turned it into a denominational move and crippled the entire move of God. God suffered it to be that way for a time. Now, why was it? How many of you know that after that Jacob crossed over the Jordan, that it was at that time that Jacob divided himself into two bands? How many of you know that after Calvary, that the Catholic Church divided themselves in 364 into two different bands, the Greek and the Papal? How many of you know that? It's always been that way. Why? Because God always shows two things. All right, let's look at it. What causes the division? It's the middle wall of partition. What caused the trouble when Nehemiah was trying to build the walls back? It was the half-breeds in trouble because their names wasn't known the book when he started to build back the city, when he come out of Babylon. How many remember that? Caused him trouble. Caused he wouldn't let them in there. Caused the name wasn't on the roll. How many of you know that the church, after coming across Jordan, setting up the kingdom, that in about 975 there was a split. Judah went one way. Israel went another way. In the days of Rehoboam and Solomon's son, in the days of Jeroboam, there was a split because he wanted to be too hard on the tribes. He saw the 10 tribes, 721 went off into Assyria. Judah went off down into Babylon. About 606, there was a split up. Why? Because it always has to be that way. There's always a middle wall of partition. But in the end time, God is going to show that all of them are wrong. And the trouble was the devil, which was the carnal reasoning that got in as a middle wall of partition and caused both of them to be vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. Now, somebody say, well, where would you get that? How many of you know that Rehoboam was not right in listening to the young men and saying it was going to be hard on the people? That was Judah. So then Judah was wrong. Is that right? How many of you know that Jeroboam, that took 10 of the tribes down into Samaria and caused them to start worshiping idols or offering up sacrifice in another place outside of Judah, how many of you know he was wrong? So then both of them was wrong. Is that right? It wasn't until God put them down in Babylon and over in Assyria that he taught them a lesson. Is that right? When the Assemblies of God and the UPC split up, the two biggest Pentecostal organizations in the world, God let both of them go down into a denominational Babylon to teach them that they could not of their own self find a way. And all of them turned to an ecclesia. And all of them became Nicolaitan. And what truth they had, they drove the spirit out and turned it into an intellectual indoctrination of the letter. For as it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. No place for the spirit. Is that right? It was after that Jacob crossed over. What caused the split? When Jacob got over Jordan, why did he separate in two bands? There wasn't any need for it. But the fear, Satan talking to Jacob, the fear that got a hold of him, the fear of Esau, his brother, the fear of the wrong that he'd done, the fear from lying to his father, the fear, the sins that he had committed, began to get a hold of him. And he knew that after 20 years, God had not overlooked it. And they had to go back and face it. And when they told him that Esau was coming with 400 men, he got afraid. And he began to split up. And he put it in two bands. Then the Bible said he took his 12 children, took his wives, went over there by a brook called Jabbok, which he later named Peniel, and he prayed all night long. Folks, let me tell you something. You might slip by watching Who Loves Lucy on television. You might slip by sucking on cigarettes. And you might slip by going to the world entertainment. You may slip by with it. But one day God is going to draw you to the line. You may slip by with that old spirit of resentment you got. That old spirit of haughtiness. That old spirit of lust and covetousness. That old spirit of intellectual reasoning. You may slip by with it. You may slip by with that spirit of temper that you got. That spirit of backbiting and fault finding. Covetousness. You may slip by with it. But one day God is going to draw you down to the line. And when God draws you down to the line and you start to press your death pillow, you're going to do like Jacob and you're going to remember your past sins and you're going to want to wrestle all night with the angel of God. Jacob wrestled. He was afraid. Fear gripped him. He said, oh God, what am I going to do? My brother's coming. He felt sure that his brother was coming against him to do him harm. That was the middle wall of partition. Middle East thought is always the middle wall of petition. Always entertaining your mind. When the Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Middle East thought got in the middle. That's where the trouble came in. It caused the division. Old Jacob, he went to prayer. He began to pray. And he said, Lord, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. Finally, the angel of God came down, and the angel of God stood with him. And the angel of God wrestled with him all night. And he said, Jacob, turn me loose. Jacob, he said, I'm not going to turn you loose. I can't turn you loose. He said, my brother's coming to kill me. You've got to do something for me. He cried the more. The angel of God said, Jacob, I'm going to bless you, son. I'm going to bless you. At last, you got the right kind of determination. You got your mind off of getting wives, and you got your mind off of getting cattle, and you got your mind off of getting rich, and you got your mind on God. He said, Jacob, I had to bring you back to Bethel, so to speak. Had to bring you back to the house of God. Had to get your mind out of the world. Amen. And he began to say, I'm going to bless you. And he said, Jacob said, from now on, I'm going to change your name from Jacob. Take away the deceiver, the supplanter. I'm going to make your name Israel and cause you to be a great prince because you prevail with God. Folks, that's what you need. You need a perseverance. You need a determination. Somebody said, I just can't pray. I got the backache. I got the heartache. I got this kind of ache. And a lot of you got the tummy ache. You know why you got the tummy ache? Let me stray off just a little bit on a limb here. You know why you got the tummy ache? Because in the garden, the Bible said the serpent was to go on his belly all the days of his life. Isn't that right? That's right. The nearest thing to the Son of God, Adam, in that garden was what? It was a man. And what is a man? He's a beast. Is that right? The nearest thing to the sons of God today is the beast. It's a man. It's an intellectual person. Is that right? It's the generation of vipers. It's the serpent. It's the educational system of the world that has corrupted every decency, took away every virtue to drive God out because they know that God can't dwell in an environment that's non-virtuous. Is that right? He did that to take over. Is that right? So then, what was it? It was a beast. Is that right? And the Bible said that the serpent was to go all of his days on his belly. All he could think about was his appetite. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said that all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you. That's the Bible. All of his days he'd go on his belly. I believe that's why the angel said, John, you're going to like the taste of this book, but it's going to be bitter to your belly. Amen. Hallelujah. Said it's going to be bitter to your belly. Is that right? I believe that's why the woman travails like she travails. I believe it. I believe it. Because it had to do with man's belly. Is that right? So then, I'm going to change your name, Jacob. I'm going to make you Israel. A great nation. You know why? He's got 12 sons now. Jacob's done dividing himself up into 12 people. Jacob, I'm going to make a nation out of you. How do you know that Jacob was a perfect type of Jesus? How do you know that Jesus' name was Jesus till he died, but when he died, the Christ came up? And how many of you know that from the name Israel came the Israelites? 12 sons. How many of you know that from Christ came the word Christian, and from 12 apostles came the Christianites? How many of you know that? It was a perfect time. Where did it happen? It happened at the rending of the veil. It happened at Calvary. It happened when he went to go across Jabbok. When he came across Jordan. It happened to point back to Calvary. That at Calvary there was a rending of the veil. And two people was to go out, one in one direction and one in another. That's why God in the end time suffered the UPC and the assemblies of God. But I predict that in the end time that both of them will come together in the National Council of Churches and they will be one great money body. God said, I will restore that which the cankerworm has eaten, the years that the locust has got. I'll restore it, saith the Lord. Amen. That was just the start of it. God was doing something. There was a justification, a great move of justification that was in the land. There was something taking place. Wesley had something. A great justification. How many of you understand that? But after a while, God sent a Wesley. Amen. Wesley believed in justification. But he saw some people that Luther couldn't do nothing with that he thought needed to be sanctified. Amen. I said, Wesley got a little more light. He thought, Luther, your following is good. But I believe they're missing in something. And so he decided they need to get sanctified. So they thought he was a strange character. They said, this fellow's got a new method. Let's just call him the Methodist. Is that all right? Amen. And so they took on sanctification. But did you know that in the day that we're living in, there's something else? I see something else that needs to be done. The Bible said God justified, God sanctified, but the Bible said God glorified. Glorification. I believe in justification for the spirit. I believe in sanctification for the soul. But I believe in glorification for the body. I believe it. Amen. I believe it. The Bible said God justified. Luther said it's good enough. I believe it. God said you can have it. The Bible said God is sanctified once and for all. Them that by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. Wesley said, I believe it. He said, you can have it. I said, Lord, I believe that you've glorified the human body, that you've changed it and made it without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. God said, son, you can have it. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you can have it. Hallelujah. If you believe in healing, you can have it. Is that right? If you believe in blessings, you can have it. If you believe in joy and peace and you're serving God, you can have it. If you believe in the resurrection of the dead, you can have it. Hallelujah. All right, now. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Praise God. I don't know what, Brother Hammond's done this place up here, but every time I get up here, I feel something. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel it running all through me like somebody stuck a wire to me. Hallelujah. All right, now, let's look at it again. Jacob, I'm going to make a prince out of you. But right at the very time he split up, right at the very time that he thought he had everything whipped. Is that right? He thought everything was under control. And right at that very time was a time that he run into trouble. The Bible said, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. God wasn't critical because you were standing. He said, if you're standing, that's good, but be careful. The devil will trip you up. Is that right? So then they split up. And here come the middle wall of partition. Here come Brother Esau. Here it comes. But see, Jacob had lent to his own understanding. He hadn't reasoned about the thing right. He hadn't got with God and reasoned with God. So he decided that the boy was going to come kill him. When he got over there, he didn't want to kill him. He wanted to hug his neck. Well, God had done got him sanctified, so to speak. Jacob sent him ever so many presents. He said, I don't want that. He said, I got plenty. He said, I'm just glad to see you. I'm just glad to see you. But see, leaning to his own understanding. You say, I've got, Brother Pike, I've got cancer. I've got TB. I've got heart trouble. I've got problems. I can't get a job. I can't make a living. And as a consequence of that, the devil pats you on the back and he says, we're in firm fellowship. He said, I agree with you. I don't believe you can do it either. But I tell you, I like the way Paul did it. Paul said, I can fight a good fight. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God did him like Abraham and said, you're the friend of God. Friend of God. You believe, Paul, you're the friend of God. Wouldn't you like to be a friend of God tonight? Wouldn't you like to be a friend of God? My, I've got so much to say tonight. I don't know where I'll ever get it said. Just give me a few more minutes. A few more minutes. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at it now. Why was the split? The middle wall of partition. Now, I'm just going to kind of drop in, if the Lord will let me. I just want to drop in just a few things concerning the thunders. A lot of people, you know, they got in their mind that nobody can get the thunders. Nobody can understand the thunders. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The Bible said that you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know the thunders. The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. What my Father has made known to me, I've made known to you. The Bible said those things that are revealed belong to the sons of men. Those things that are not revealed belong to God. Is that right? Somebody said, well, that seals it up because they were not revealed. That's where you're wrong. You misinterpret the scriptures. They were revealed to John. If they was revealed to one man, then they're for all men. John knew exactly what the thunders was, and the Lord said, John, don't write them. Why did he say that? He made that statement because the thunders was not to be preached as a scriptural indoctrination to the world. Amen. It's true. John was typical of the church. The door was open on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord said, John, here's an open door. Come up here. Is that right? He went up there, and God showed him the thunders. Is that right? Where are you going to see the thunders when you come up here where I'm at? Amen. When you get tired of living down there. Amen. Come out of that old dreary world down there. God said, I've chosen you out of the world. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Somebody said, now, isn't that a cute way of saying things? Brother, we're not trying to be cute. God wasn't trying to be cute. When God said, I chose you out of the world, he meant I chose you out of the world. He wasn't using some figment of imagination or speech. God meant that you're no longer in the world. Why? I said last night, the reason why is because when you got the world in you, the Bible said God has set the world in man's heart. He can't find his ends. I said when the world is in your heart, then you're in the world. Is that right? But I say when God's in your heart and the kingdom of God's in your heart, you're in heaven. I would say, Brother Pike, I don't understand what you're saying. I would give me a few minutes to break a little of it down. Man is a spirit. How many of you know that? Man is a spirit that's walking in a human body. It's called the inner man and the outer man. Is that right? All right, now I'm going to show you. If you'll listen, if you'll give me just a little time. It takes a little time. If I feel crowded, I try to move too fast, and the Holy Spirit, he won't move that way. If you just give me a little time, I'll prove what I'm saying to you tonight. All right, now listen. The world got into man's heart in the garden. Is that right? And say, how do you get that, Brother Pike? Well, when Adam was in the garden, let's run out on another limb here a few minutes. While Adam was in the garden, Adam wasn't eternal. Now listen, Adam was not eternal. Adam did not have eternal life in the garden. I say, but I preach that Adam did. Well, I saw God don't fall out with you. I don't either, because we've all known part. Brother, that didn't right. Maybe done the best you knew. But that didn't right. Adam did not have eternal life. If Adam had had eternal life, how could Adam have ever died? Eternal life means to never die. See, that alone proves Adam did not have eternal life. And you say, but how do you explain it? Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And as long as he was in the presence of the Shekinah, he couldn't die. He could have lived eternally. As long as he was in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, he would have lived eternally. He could not die. But because he was not born to the Shekinah, a mind that was superior, like Satan's, could work through a weaker part of his body, which was the woman, his own flesh, and subdue his spirit and cause it to fall away from faith. Are you listening? What was the sin in the garden? Somebody said sex. Somebody said apple. I used to wonder why they called us Adam's apple. Said an apple. The sin of the garden was unbelief. There's but one sin. That's unbelief. There's but one justification. That's faith. One form of believing If it's in reverse, it's just as powerful as the form of believing that's not in reverse. For if believing is in reverse, it believes Satan as a spirit, as a power, as a strength into your heart, into your life, to afflict you, to subdue you, to have dominion over you. Satan believes he has to work through faith. He has to get faith in reverse and get you to believing in what he's doing. You have to believe in cancer, believe in TB, believe in heart trouble, believe in everything that the carnal mind tells you that you got. He's trying to produce a believing toward him in it so he can subdue you. Set in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Is that right? But with the revelation, which is the brightness of the coming Lord, said, I will destroy him. For when Solomon got the temple built, the Bible said the glory of God filled the temple. Hallelujah! I'm working on a building, somebody said. Amen. I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. This old world is floating around in space that ain't got no foundation. But Abraham said, I'm seeking a city. Paul said he was seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Built upon 12 foundations. He said, this city's got a foundation. Lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. Habitation for God. God inhabits the praise of his people. So, when man disbelieved, from the very moment that he did it, are you listening? There came forth an intellectual power, a mind. What kind of mind? A beast mind. And therein God subjected the sons of God to vanity. The creature to vanity, not by their own desire, but by his will. Subjected them with the hope of glory, Paul said in hope, to be fashioned after his countenance. Subjected them that they might learn obedience by the things they suffer. Jesus, being the author of it, became our example. Is that right? Learned obedience by the things he suffered. Therefore, being made perfect, he became the author and finisher of our faith. God willing to subject us, that we might learn to serve him, learn to love him, learn to do what he wanted. For if there had never been sickness, how could he have been a healer? If there had never been problems, how could he have been the one that could solve them? How could he have ever been magnified in our eyes as God? If there had never been any bitter, how could we have ever known sweet? If there had never been any darkness, how could we appreciate light? If God had not subjected us to vanity and brought us down to this level, to a beast level, mind you, my brother, we could never have known that he was God. Adam could have walked around and God could have said to Adam, I am God. Adam could have said, what makes you think that you're God? I'm here just like you are. I'm God. God could have said, I'm God because I think I'm God. Adam could have said, I'm God because I think I'm God. Somebody would have said, why, nobody be ignorant enough to think like that. Why, there's men in the world today think they're God. Sure, they feel like they can get along without God. God had to bring him down. If Eve had really believed in God, you think she'd have done what she done? No. She was a perfect woman. Brought him down. God wanted to reveal the attributes to them. How many of you know that sons of God are the manifested attributes of God? My, I wish we had time to get into it tonight. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then in the garden, here come a mind. The mind was instilled in the heart of mankind. Is that right? When the mind came in, man became a beast. He is on the same level of a beast. The beast die, man die. I've heard people say, well, Brother Pike, it couldn't be on the level of beast because beasts don't have souls. But the Bible said the beast has a soul. You never read in the Bible? Read it. It says the beast have a soul. Sure, they have a soul. As a matter of fact, that's where the soul comes from. God made a living soul, brought them down to a beast level. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you really expect me to believe something like that? Not unless you want to. I said, God made a beast. God made a living soul. You say, well, where does that put us? It puts us with the beast. All right, listen now. Somebody said, Brother Pike, we're made in the image of God. I said this before, I want to say it again. You mean it, God? He looks like me, and he looks like you, and he looks like her, looks like him, and looks like them. He's fat, skinny, bald-headed, got hair, teeth out. You know that couldn't be. You couldn't be. That couldn't be. No, that couldn't be. What is it? Made in the image of the beast. That's what it is. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that God made Adam in the image of the beast? No, Adam was called the son of God. How many of you know that? He was made in the image of God. But I'm talking about when Adam fell from the garden, the tree reproduces after his kind. When Adam fell from the garden, he was no longer in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. He no longer bore the image of the heavenly. You say, how can you prove it? Because Paul said, as we have borne the image of the earthy. Did we come from Adam our father? He must have borne the image of the earthy. As we've borne the image of the earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. For when he appears, who? The image of the heavenly, the second man Adam. When he got back that image. Is that right? Are you listening? Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, the earthly one, I've got another tabernacle. What kind? He said, a spiritual tabernacle. For the last one was not made a beast, a living soul. He said he was made a quickening spirit. Are you with me? Are you with me? I've got another one, he said. I've got one that's eternal in the heavens. Where's the heavens? The spirit. What is the tabernacle? The body of Christ. He said, I've been of the first man, Adam, but I got another tabernacle. It's the tabernacle of the second man, Adam. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Where is it at? Eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. Come on, folks. So then, what are we looking for? We're expecting the redemption of the body. Paul said we travail, groan, and wait for the redemption of the body. Is that right? What is it? To wit, the redemption. What is it? Glorification. Glorification. Waiting for the redemption. There had to be a Calvary. There had to be a Calvary. Why? To kill out the first man Adam. To get rid of the beast, the image. There had to be a change. When Jacob got over Jordan, there had to be a change. Had to be a split up. Why? Now listen. Because it had to do with the seven thunders that John heard. Where did the thunders come in? Everything comes in Calvary. Where did the thunders come in? At the rending of the veil. At the rending of the veil. Let's look at it and see spiritually. Are you spiritual now? Paul said, I speak unto you spiritual. Are you spiritual? All right, let's look at it. I don't want to get you between heaven and earth because that's where Satan's kingdom is. I want to get you into the third heaven. Don't want to stop short. Got to get over Jordan. How many know that second heaven in between there is that Jordan? Got to get over it. Satan got his kingdom set up there. There's a dark veil there. Got to rend it. Got to get through there. Old Daniel started praying and fasting. He kept praying and fasting. God on the other end of the third heaven kept trying to get down to the third heaven. But in that second heaven, Satan, he'd sit right there showing himself he's God, you know. And every time the angel of God come down to answer it, the angel of Satan go out and fight him and stop him. Finally, God got enough of it. He sent Michael Gabriel him down there and really started a war. Are you listening? And finally, that thing broke through. And you know what? That's what Calvary was. Now look at it and let's see if that's right. That was Daniel's war. Just watch and see. So then, Calvary, the rending of the veil, the differentiating between Christ and the Lord. You see it? The Lord on one side, Christ on one side. I brought it out last night. The Lord, the Christ, for he made himself twain. The veil was rent in twain, in two. The Lord and the Christ separated. Is that right? The head of the Jews, the Lord, Jesus. The first man Adam, the fall. The head of the beast. The head of the serpent. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Frank, you done jumped the gun now. Just hold on a minute, let's see. Somebody said, do you mean to tell me that you're going to refer to Jesus as a serpent? No, Paul said, preach the word. I'm just telling you what God said about it. God said, Moses, lift up the brazen serpent. Is that right? The head of the serpent. For the prophecy was, and the seed of the woman, which is the church. The seed of the woman. Now you know a woman don't have a seed. But it said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man. That it shall come to pass that a woman will have a seed. What will it be? A virgin birth. For it shall be the seed of a woman. A virginity. A divine concept. Not an educational system of a ritualistic church, but a divine revelation from God. That she'll conceive and bring forth an inner man. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you to bring forth that Holy Ghost Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Dover. Hallelujah. So then, said the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. You know that Jesus wasn't a serpent. But he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. My brother, if you believe that he was made sin, why can't you believe that you're the righteousness of God tonight? But what woman was God talking about? He was talking about the Jesus that knew no sin. The first woman, Eve, was dying. Listen now. The first woman, Eve, was dying. Remember, the flesh is called the great whore. Is that right? Come out from where my people, be a separate people. Why? Why was Eve dying? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're crazy. That was a man. But the Bible said that though the man was not in the transgression, the church was guilty, not Jesus. Yet among the thorns and thistles of evil spirit, he went forth to give her some spiritual bread to eat. Is that right? By the sweat of his brow. Is that right? When the man hung at Calvary, that was the death of the woman. For the man had to bear the iniquity to kill out the harlot Eve. Is that right? The mother of all living. Somebody said they're going to find somebody on the moon. There ain't nobody up there. Bible said Eve's the mother of all living. That takes care of it. All right, now, you listening? But the woman that was holy was not the sinful part, but the righteous part of the Son of God. Differentiating between the Lord and the Christ. It was that woman. Now listen. Not Israel. For the Bible said Israel had played the harlot under every green tree. God would give her right of divorcement and put her away. Is that right? But this woman, the virgin church, are you listening? The righteous part of Christ, the woman part, went into hard travail at Calvary. And the water, the blood, and the spirit came forth. And there came forth who? The Christ, which was the seed of that righteous woman that was to bruise the head of the serpent. Who was it that took Jesus to Calvary? Somebody said, Rome did it. Rome was only typical. Somebody said, the Jews did it. The Bible said, we can't kill a man. The Bible said, God. We esteem him smitten of God. The God on the inside, the Christ on the inside, the seed of the woman, took that body and bruised the head of it with the thorns as it went into it. Are you listening? To fold up the old and to lay it away, to bruise the head of the serpent, to kill it and to do away with it. Why? Because Adam was the head of that serpent. He begun it. You say, where do you get that? Because it was right there in the garden that Eve, the weaker part of his body, turned to that carnal mind for a headship. And that indoctrination went over to Adam and they fell from the garden and they lost out with God and he become the head of that wicked, evil, crooked generation. And every one of them's born unto death because he said he'd kill her children. My brother, Adam did not have eternal life. Adam had access to it and he did not take it. He was under the presence of God. In the presence of the Shekinah. And God, as long as he believed, he believed in God. His faith created a heavenly environment. But when God had to depart from his heart and Satan came in, the carnal mind, the world became dark and filled with briars. You say, Brother Pike, it wasn't dark. The Bible said God reckoned time from evening until morning. And he said, until the day start dawn within your heart. Is that right? It's been dark ever since. He said, ye are as lights in this world of darkness. You shined in the midst of a crooked generation. Why are all of we here tonight? To take our little candles, to put them together, to create a spot of light that God might come down the midst. Is that right? Why? Because the door is open, heaven. Jesus made it. When Shepherd went up there, it was a type of the age to break through. It never broke through before. To make a door to where they could go to the galaxies. That's why his name was Shepherd. Being a type of Jesus that hung between heaven and earth. He rent that veil up there. That second heaven, he passed through it. He went through it hanging between heaven and earth. He went through it. He broke it. But did you notice that Shepherd never did go up to the moon at that time? Did you notice that? Why? Moses couldn't go over Jordan. A type of Jesus. God gave his only son. He had to die. He gave him up in death. No flesh, blood can inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus suffered without the gates. But that Christ that came up, those that followed Shepherd, that Joshua that came on the scene, that's why Brother Branham could not do the things he wanted to do. He had to look over, see it. Because he was numbered with the veil. For the voice said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Gave him the sign of Moses. There had to be a rending of the veil. When I predicted Brother Branham's death and when Brother Branham was killed, what did he do? They split his head open. Why? Bruising the head of the serpent at the time. That had turned into an indoctrination, a letter, showing what was to be done with sin. The Jews had corrupted it. Bruising the head of the serpent, doing away with the first man, Adam. Somebody said, but Adam was the beginning of the creation of God. Adam wasn't the beginning of the creation of God. Adam was made out of the dust. He became a living soul. He was a created son. But we're not created. We're not in the presence of the Shekinah. We're born to the Shekinah glory of God. The devil can't overthrow us. Canaan ties us out. The Bible said Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. The second man, Adam, Christ, that purged that vesture, took it through the fire, through the flames of hell. Somebody said, well, I'd be willing to go to the cross, take nails if I could get the glory he got. My brother, that was the lightest thing he'd done, was to wear the thorns. He went down through the bellies and the chambers of hell, and the Bible said God suffered not the soul of his Holy One to remain in hell. He went through the flames of hell and paid the penalty for your sins. Because that was the penalty of sin. Ah, there's a bushel of revelation in that. But do you see it? The seed bruising the head. That was a rending of the veil. From the time of Calvary all the way through the seven church ages, it has been God moving in the heavenlies. My brother, I know that's hard for you to understand because I'm having to condense things. It would take hours to bring it out and lay it out to where you could see it and get a faith and a confidence in the understanding that would be brought forth. That's the only way you can have faith is by understanding. With wisdom, Solomon said, get understanding. But listen, just try to understand what little I'm saying. It is the truth. It is the truth. From Calvary, there is no need for a man to be sick. From Calvary, there is no need for a person to be in poverty. From the time of Calvary, there is no need to be depressed. There is no need to die with diseases. There is no need to die at all. From Calvary, death is gone forever. It's gone. It's finished, Jesus said. Let me throw this much in. Jesus said, I beheld Satan. Satan is lightning fall from heaven. Is that right? He made a door. He said, I am the door. Said, Peter, you've discovered the door. Here's the keys to it. Unlock it to the people. The Jews said, we won't have it. The Gentiles went in. The kingdom of God's at hand. Men pressed their way into it. They were translated in. And the Jews didn't get it until seven church ages later when John saw the door open in heaven. They finally discovered it. They finally decided to accept it. Why didn't they accept it? Because Jesus was the door, and they wouldn't have the door. The rent veil, the separation of the Lord and Christ. When the heavens rolled back in the book of Revelation, it was the vesture of Jesus that separated. And in the temple, Jesus was seen the ark of his covenant, the rent veil of Calvary. Are you following? That's what John wrote about. That's what the book of Revelation was about. War in heaven. How many know when it starts thundering and lightning, that's war in heaven? Sure, it's war. What is it? It's the hot clouds and the cold clouds coming together. Listen now. Jesus said, when he spoke of the kingdom of God being at hand, not way off, my brother, but it's here. Pray that my will be done here on earth, that the garden might come back, that the millennium might be here. That is the garden, the restoration. Yes, that's a new earth. That's not the new earth. The Bible don't teach millennium as new earth. The new earth is after the millennium. The millennium is a restored earth. It's the same earth you're living on right here. I said the other night, the world isn't over when Jesus comes. That's just the second dimensional part of it. God allots 4,000 years to the Jew, 2,000 years to the Gentile or Catholic, and 1,000 years to the what's called the Protestant people of the church. Is that right? That 1,000 years millennium is always, look at it, number 4 to the Jew. How many can get this right quick? The number 4 to the Jew, 40 years in the wilderness, 4,000 years from the garden over to Calvary. Is that right? Everything he'd done with was 4. Is that right? Because it means judgment. Look at the Gentile, 2,000 years from Calvary to the rapture. Is that right? Two children, a boy and a girl, two cars. I made the statement the other night. Two cars. A little one for economy, another big Cadillac to cruise around in. Two homes, one on the beach to frolic in, one to live in at home. Two incomes, one to put in the bank, the other to pay the bills with. Is that right? Two eyes, two nose, two ears, two hands. You understand what I'm saying? That's a Gentile world. It's a beast part. But look at the church. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, 1,000 years millennium reign with God. All right, now, so I don't have time to go into that and break that down. I just want to drop that little bit in to confirm that I'm telling you the truth. Look at it. I saw Satan, war in heaven. What was it? Scientists will tell you that if hot clouds and cold clouds come together, there's going to be a war. Anytime the hot and cold come together, Jesus said, be hot or cold. Anytime you come together, there's going to be a war because you're going to produce lukewarm people. Going to be a war. What causes it? God will spew them out of his mouth. The war in heaven. Lightning, thunderings. Now that's where your thunders come in right there. War up in heaven. War. John saw the thunders in heaven. War in heaven. The rending of the veil. The separation of the Lord and the Christ. Jesus said to the Jews, now listen, the kingdom of God's at hand. Men pressed their way into it. I say unto you, they shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west, and they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Did it happen? It happened exactly that way. They came from the east. They came from the west. Some of you tonight from the east. Some of you from the west. From all over the world they came. Since that time, they've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. But the children of the kingdom which sat under the kingdom of David was rejected, and they wandered in darkness, and they beat at the wailing walls of Jerusalem ever since. Is that right? You say, but I believe that means that God's going to cast them out of darkness. I know that. I know that. I know that if you reject God, He'll put you in hell. I know that. I know that. But my brother, when he was speaking to them, he was talking about the Jews being cut off to wander in darkness. What is darkness? The carnal mind. Paul said God concluded them in unbelief that he might spare them in the day of the revelation. God doesn't require anything unless you know it. And he had to cut the Jews off so they would know nothing while he dealt with the Gentiles. He could have mercy on them at the end time because of her ignorance. Is that right? To whom much is given, much is required. Him knoweth to do good and doeth not sin. The rent veil, the war in heaven, the hot clouds and the cold clouds coming together. Now watch it and see it. When they came together, there was a war, and the serpent got his head bruised, and the red dragon, this is what John saw. It's exactly what he saw. It's what he recorded. You can see it too if you look. The red dragon, he was the bloodstream. The red bloodstream. Somebody said, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm speaking in physical dimensions now. Blood life. It was a blood life. A sex life. A perverted life. A life unto death. A blood life. It waited to devour the man-child, which was to be the many-membered body. Blood life tried to get it. Satan said, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of this world if you'll serve me. He said, thou savest the things that be of the world. And the blood life had taken everybody. Satan had got in the heart, in the bloodstream. Temporal life. But when Jesus got to Calvary, he nailed it to the cross and the blood run out of the heart, which is the kingdom. Satan was cast out of heaven. Lucifer, the evil spirit that was the personifying self in the bloodline. Jesus cast him out. The blood life was at an end. The living soul was at an end. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Every man's born into sin because he's partakers of what's in his father's heart. But the second man, Adam, the quickening spirit, came up. The man-child, are you listening? When Lucifer went out, Jesus said, I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. When the Christ came up, he picked up the body that had been purged, took it to the right hand of the Father, set it by the throne as the vesture dipped in blood to be the atonement. Left that body, come back at Pentecost, went into the hearts of mankind by measure until he brought the membership together to the unit of the fullness of the stature of faith. Till the end of the church ages to finish the mystery of his body, the mystery of godliness, God in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. To finish it, that when the sonship was finished, the head of Revelation 19, the fullness of the Godhead, Jesus, would return to the fullness of the God body, which is the church members in particular. Revelation 19, he would come back to pick up the body at the time he picked up the Jew, because the Jew represents the body. That's how Paul knew the revelation. Paul said of the casting away of the Jew, be the reconciling of the world. What will the receiving of the Jew be but redemption of the body, which is life from the dead? He knew what it represented in Revelation. Follow me? War in heaven. The rent veil. Christ rending the veil. John said the clouds roll back. The lightning. The thundering. War. The hot and the cold coming together. Rending that veil in that second heaven. Oh, I wish we'd go back to the tabernacle and teach it. First, second, third heaven. But anyway, opening it up. You see it? Paul called it the third heaven. Open it up. What was it? It was the thunders. Seven thunders uttered their voices. When Jesus was crucified, the veil was rent. The hot, cold. I brought out the other night. The firmament between the waters. Clouds or waters. How many of you know that God refers to you as the great cloud of witnesses? How many of you know that clouds mean that it's water that's been vaporized and taken up into another world? Clouds are not in the earth, they're in heaven. Is that right? Water's in the earth. And God refers to you as waters in Revelation. Is that right? The beasts come up out of the people, the waters. Scientists say your body's made out of water mostly. Is that right? Your cloud. Oh, I wish we could bring out some things here. Your clouds. Vaporized by the Holy Spirit. Brought up left to bring out the cloud and the pillar of fire. What it means. I just wish we just had time to do it. Coming on up, the cloud. God has turned you as a pool of refreshing water. As the angel troubled Bethesda into a cloud of witnesses. That he might return as a revelation in the midst of you to the world. You're not in the earth. I've chosen you out. You're caught up in heaven. You're sitting in heavenly places. You're hid with Christ and God whom the heavens have received. Where is Christ in heaven? Where are we with Christ? Where is that? In heaven. What is that? That's the rapture. When you come to know it, come to realize it, come to hear it, come to understand it, come to believe it. Wish we could preach tonight on conquering death. But if you understand it, then you've changed worlds. And once the church gets the revelation, they change worlds and God will burn up the other world because he has no need for it. As long as they're in that world down there, they can't do it. But Enoch was translated out of that world into another world by faith because he heard that certain sound that the Spirit said into the church. The scriptures appeared unto Abraham even without a preacher. You understand what I'm saying? The rent veil, the hot clouds. You know what's happening right now? Now this is real close. What is happening right now? Is the hot and the cold clouds are coming together. The church is trying to mix with the world. That means there's a war. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that the world is also in heaven? Absolutely. They're in the second heaven. Satan is. Satan is in the second heaven. He appeared before God when he accused Job. The Bible said he'd be cast out of heaven. The woman's in heaven because she was standing on the moon. I brought out last night. We should travail and bow before the sun. She's in heaven. As long as you're in the days of grace, you're in heaven. If grace wasn't here, my brother, God would tear you to pieces for your mistakes. We can't go into those things. I wish we could. Well, let me say this, and I know this is going to leave you right out. Not in a boat without a paddle. You got Jesus. He's a good pilot. But I just feel like I went far enough tonight. There's just so much I want to say. The water's getting deeper and deeper. The prophet said it got up to his ankle and it got up to his knee. After a while, you'll be baptized if I keep on. Hallelujah. Look at it just for a few minutes and I promise you I'll close. There's the war, my brother. The hot and the cold's coming together. What are those thunders? The mumblings, the rumblings, the grumbles, the groans out of the people as you try to make a mix. Is that right? Dark clouds and white clouds coming together. Is that right? Racial conflict. Red, white, yellow, black. All coming together. Yes, I've never seen no red cloud. We never looked there before. I've seen blue clouds, red clouds, yellow clouds. All coming together. What is it? It is the church and the world trying to mix. The mumblings, the grumblings, the frictions, the division. What is the lightning? The sharp cutting words. Cuts like a knife. The friction. Scientists say when they bump together, it causes a friction. Speaking in physical dimensions now. What is it? The Bible said when that veil was rent at Calvary, those clouds begin to rumble together. How many know now? Listen now. Dark clouds mean storm, trouble. Tribulation, is that right? Have to do with demons. Light clouds, what do they mean? They mean a refreshing rain. Is that right? I have to go back in the Old Testament to the pillar of fire to bring it out. But anyway, how do you know that that was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day? There's a beautiful thing in that. It has to do with the thunders. Thunders are in the clouds. How many know that? So then, when the friction comes, that's when Satan goes out. Is that right? All right, the friction is going on right now. The woman's got her foot on the moon. I brought that last night, America. The friction is going on. Is that right? Problems. Is that right? Black power and white power coming together. Is that right? Now, this is not with racial discrimination. I believe every person, black, white, red, yellow, whatever, that sons of God have no part in that beastly regime of black men or white men or whatever they are. They're all beasts. In Christ is neither Greek nor Jew. So then the friction is coming, my brother. Satan is going out. The bombing will come, which will be the thunders. The lightning will come, which will be the flashing of the bombs. The nations will conflict. War, spiritual war in the church. Are you listening? There is a conflict. A spiritual thing that's taking place. A war. Satan's going out. Why? Because when the man-child goes up, Satan has to go out. Is that right? There's a friction. There's a war. There's a controversy. There's a difference. What is it? When that rent veil came, seven thunders uttered their voices. And though I can't go into them, I thought I'd touch on them some tonight. I'm not going to be able to. But I'll say this much. The seven thunders that uttered their voices was the seven church ages that came forth with the mysteries of God. It was the seven spirits of God that would be the seven locks of Samson's head. That was to be taken off in the Gentile age and restored at the end in the coming of the tribulation period to the Jew. In the 7 years, I brought out last night, cut down the tree, let 7 times pass over it, let it grow back up. You say, how could that have to do with the church ages? How do you know when one of those seals was loosed, John said, I heard a voice, I heard it thunder, he said. It thundered, John said. Is that right? Why didn't God let the world get the indoctrination of the thunders? Why? Because it was the mystery that was to be given to the church. That was to translate the church. It wasn't to be an intellectual indoctrination. He said, you can't write it. It's to be a revelation to the church of the end time. John, you can have it because you're the church. But don't write it or the beast will get it. Let them have the indoctrination enough to make them guilty before God. So they'll turn it into an intellectual letter. So they'll be condemned on the day of judgment for not living right when they knew to do good. But the revelation is to the church. John, don't write it. Seal it up. Somebody said, now let me ask you a question. Where did he seal it up at? Somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, he sealed it up. Daniel sealed it up. Is that right? His was sealed up in that day, but could be revealed in John's day. Sealed it up till the end time. It was the end time. We can get it now. But where did John seal it up? He sealed it up in his heart, in the kingdom of God. That's where it was sealed up. It was the church. God sealed it up. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God sealed it up. That in the last days, he would reveal it from within. And of course, that goes back to the watering from within. The fountain opened in the house of David. A lot of revelation. In here. It wasn't to be something from out there. It was to be something from in here that was going to translate you. The thunders, the mystery of the church ages, it's never been revealed. Never been revealed. For the Bible said it's not given unto them to know the mysteries. Peter said, Lord, why is it you speak to them people in parables? Jesus said it's just given to them to hear the word of God, the gospel to every creature. But it's not given to them to know the mysteries, Peter. Unto you, the church, it's given. For the church is to be translated by the mistress. It's the mistress. They can't have them. Oh my. Let's stand together. I tell you, this ain't no place to stop. I don't mean to keep you that long. I just don't want to. What I'm trying to do is not to get you out in the middle of nowhere and leave you. That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I go on. I don't mean to press you till the children get upset. I wouldn't do it for nothing. I usually don't preach so long anyway most of the time. Unless I get in revelation. And you just have to take time to get on your journey to where you're going. You love the Lord? I hope you can understand. I hope you can understand. I go on and on and explain some things. But it'd take a bushel of revelation to be able to do it. Let's sing a little chorus together.